PHP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on social at CanadanGolf. You can also find our Twitter at OffCourseTHP. With me today is kind of a living legend in the THP universe. If you don't know him, you probably should. He is a VP of Innovation over at Cobra Golf. And it might be one of my favorite people on the planet. And I think he knows that already. Anyways, his name is Mike Yagley. Really glad to have you here, Mike. How are you, my friend?
I could not be better. I'm talking to you. And thank you for that very, very kind intro.
You know, I
likewise, you're one of my favorite people on the planet.
I'm writing that down. I might actually soundbite that. That's the beauty of being recording. I hold you to everything you say. So I tag your Twitter, which is Yagley_Cobra, but I think I look at it more than you do.
You might be right. Yes. I'm an innovation nerd, not necessarily a marketing guy. And I stay hunkered down with my guys making stuff.
Well, yeah. I'll tag the big one then at Cobra Golf. You guys are doing some pretty incredible stuff over there, especially over the last couple of years. And not to mention, we're actually recording on a Monday. And by Friday, everyone will get to know what I already know. And it's that Rad Speed is here and it's a big deal.
It's coming. It's huge. We've taken innovations that we've been working on for a couple of years and we've jammed it into one hell of a package from drivers all the way through the irons.
So one of my favorite things about coming to visit you guys over there at Cobra, when we can actually travel, is the little sly grin in your eye when I ask you how good is this product and where are you guys going? Because I know you're always looking ahead and forward. And I definitely got the sense last year that you guys were really excited about Speed Zone, but I could tell there was something coming that you guys were really excited about. And I think it's pretty funny that right now I actually have in our little video call, an equation up. Is this the right one, or is this radius of gyration, or is this moment of inertia? Okay.
No, this is, well, moment of inertia is in that equation. See the M in there?
Yes, I do.
That's moment of inertia. Yeah. So, radius of gyration is more of a concept than it is like a physical thing. But it's a concept that is used, quite efficiently to describe, just the mass properties of an object alone. So you've heard us talk about moment of inertia forever. And the way you can describe the geometric value of moment of inertia is imagine where the center of gravity is in an object, and the radius of gyration would be as if you took all of the mass of that object and put it in one place and its distance from the center of gravity. So you can see how it's not really a physical thing, because if I took all that mass and put it in one spot, well, that would be the center of gravity now. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a mathematical thing, but it definitely helps describe just how stable your object is. And when we started talking about it, the product guys looked at it, and the product marketing guys like Jose said, damn, that's a really interesting way to describe just how efficient your mass is. And we said, yeah, it is. And so he loved it. We latched onto it. And so we're using rad as in radius or radius of gyration as part of the name. He loved it so much. So in our case, we're just trying to get mass away from that center of gravity. That's the game. Get it away from the center of gravity. And down low and back has been really popular for years. And down low and front's been popular for years, but nobody's really done both. And so we're doing both low and back and low and front.
And that kind of paints a really interesting picture, because the way it was presented to me, and I've had the pleasure of chatting with you a little bit about it in the past, but the idea is you make concessions depending on where you apply that mass. And that could mean slightly reduced ball speed. That could mean slightly reduced forgiveness. There's spin and launch, things like that. There seems to be an incredible amount of give and take depending on the kind of product you want to produce. And what I really liked about your introduction to us on Rad Speed is that you not only isolated it for one head, you isolated it specifically for three different heads to sort of validate the idea that it's not just about head size. It's not just about face angle, anything like that. There is some serious technology going into making a difference between your three different heads for this driver offering.
Yeah. So we've got the standard or Rad Speed, which when you look down at it, it's the, gosh, can you say traditional or classic at this point? It's got front back weighting, which is very useful for a player who's trying to dial in their launch angle and spin. And I would say the most compact of the three heads, and it's going to be the most player-ish type head, but still have great forgiveness because of the radial weighting, still have exceptionally low spin. It's probably lower spin than anything we've made in a while. It's going to be very maneuverable. So that's going to be probably the workhorse of the line. But then followed by that, you've got slightly larger heads in the Rad XB, which has back weighting, hence the B, and then Rad XD, which has draw weighting, which is a little heel bias, hence the D. So we've got three really good heads. So I'm thinking 95% of the players out there could play one of these heads, unless they have just freakish issues with their swing. We can fit them into one of these clubs.
Yeah, I immediately got excited when I saw it. The concept is incredibly intriguing. And I love that it seems like innovation has continued from what I believe to be a premier product, which was the F9, which kind of shook me to my core, not just from a sound perspective, but from a performance perspective. And that said a lot because I was a huge fan of the King LTD driver. I love the idea that you could look inside of a head. It always cracked me up. But I want to say those are the craziest things, but I'm super excited about the two colorways you guys chose this year.
I had to, because every
year there's like, all right, this is the one that you're going to use. And this is the one. No, it's so polarizing, but this year it's like, there are two incredibly good looking drivers and one that actually kind of feels a little bit U.S. Open-ishy. Open-ishy? That's a word.
That's a word.
It's Canadian.
It's not trademarked.
So,
And is that the one that would be in your bag if you're going to put one of these in the bag?
I mean,
the Peacoat Blue.
You know me. Yeah. I'm wearing a blue shirt right now. Shout out same to here. API. This is Cloud Spun. We can talk about that if you want to.
Sure.
But you use Peacoat, which I thought was really cool because that's been a staple in your Puma lineup for a long time. And it's a color that is kind of soothing to my eyes. So yeah, I think I'd be hard pressed not to use that one. Do you have one that you're pretty sure you're going with?
So right now, personally, I have a turbo yellow in the bag because that's what Rachel gave me. Okay. And I love the damn thing.
Shout out to Rachel.
Hose has a Peacoat blue one. And I'm like, I may have a little envy there.
It's Wait a minute.
Really, really good looking. Really good looking.
And Hose has been like firmly in the yellow team yellow camp for the last 2 years.
I know.
Like aggressively so.
Yes.
I don't know what to think of that. I'm proud of him. Let's just start there.
You can call him out. Yeah. Text him a caller immediately following this conversation.
Say, where have you been hiding this sensibility all this time?
Oh, they're both beautiful. They really are. Yeah.
You know, speaking of Hose.
Yes.
You guys just wrapped up another year. I know. And I wouldn't bring it up because I know it's a sensitive topic, but the event itself needs to be discussed because it is truly one of the great experiences in amateur golf right now. And that's the Morgan Cup. It's hosted by you guys in THP, I had the pleasure of being a winning captain with you last year. It was unbelievable down at Hag Point. If you remember all of it.
I do, all of
it. Okay. Okay. But you guys were at TPC Las Vegas this year, which looked absolutely spectacular. The course looked in awesome shape, and the guys looked like they had an absolute blast. How are you doing? Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I missed that trophy. I had it sitting here next to my desk for like 7 months. You're kidding me?
Yeah.
It was painful. Luckily, we can't go in the office, right? So we're working remotely. And so I don't have to sit across from Hose like the couple minutes before a meeting really starts. And he just kind of looks at you with that stupid smirk, right? Because I know what he's thinking, right? Because I did it to him for 2 years straight, right? I've been able to do it multiple times. But I hate to say this. If we're going to lose to one guy, it'd be that guy because he's a good guy. He really is.
Yeah.
He loves golf. He loves the competition. And yes, the venue was incredible. Josh and Morgan and team put a great show on. We had a great time. You know, we were able to just kind of forget what was going on in the world for a couple of days, and it was safe. We kept our distance, you know, and everybody, you know, did smart things, but we just had such a great time on that golf course in that competition.
Is your record 3-2 right now against him?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's so as long as we keep you above 500, I think we're in good shape.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I know THP right now is hunting for the next captain. So if those listening in aren't familiar and like the idea of being a Cobra Puma staffer and playing golf with Mike Yagley, against Jose,
yes,
which is the most important part, definitely take a look over there. Like I had mentioned earlier, it is an unbelievable experience and one that I think most people would walk away being truly inspired by.
It really is. I mean, you've heard me say it, Dan, and I said it this year and I will say it every year, and it is because it's the truth. There are certain things that I really look forward to. Christmas with my kids, Halloween with the kids, right? That kind of stuff. But from a professional standpoint, there is nothing that I look forward to more than those 3 days in the Morgan Cup. I mean, it's just spectacular. It's so much fun. The competition, the camaraderie, the jawing, the tears, the laughter. It's really good. And if anyone who's listening has not experienced it and you really want to get out there and have some fun and compete, because I'll be real with you. I mean, I do want to go there and have fun, but make no mistake about it, I want to win. It's just a great time. It's the greatest weekend of the year by far.
So can I kickstart a little bit of heat for next year right now?
Sure. Bring it on.
How badly are you going to beat Hose in 2021?
I and my new captain will have our team ready to kick his little ass all up and down that golf course.
Do you think even gets to singles? I mean,
I don't know. I'd like to say no, but it probably will. Yeah, we'll need a couple of points to push us over the edge.
Just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, keep it interesting. Yeah, because we want people to tune in on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, part of this is just to keep myself entertained because I get the trickle-down effect of some stories between the two of you. And the other part is I kind of want to get Jose on here to make an argument. Maybe I get both you guys on here to talk over each other.
Please.
You know, purely Morgan Cup style and see who comes out on top.
He's a marketing guy. He's, you know, silver tongue devil. So he has the advantage there.
Let's transition a little bit because I really want to get back to some of the product you guys are doing.
Yeah.
You've introduced this year a limited edition putter, which is what appears to be a little bit of a showcase on what you're looking at right now in the 3D printing world.
Yes.
And that is actually going to apply to some products moving forward, which I think is really cool. Do you have, well, let me take a step back there and just ask you, how excited are you that not only is it in a putter now, but you are putting it into your new Radspeed irons, which is pretty wild.
I guess an adjective. The first one that came to mind was super. You said how excited? Super. Yeah. On a scale from 1 to 10, let's give it about 8 or 9, because we are able to do things with 3D printing that you just can't with casting, forging, machining. there are concepts we dream of. You're like, well, damn, we can't make that except for 3D printing it. And it's going to allow us to make some things that just couldn't exist without it. And it's funny. We started dreaming of this probably 8-9 years ago. And we really thought that, you know, looking at the technology and the cost and the complexity of the machines and the availability of machines, we're like, it might be 10, 15 years out, maybe more, before the process, the cost, the availability all converges. And it's taken about half that time. And it works.
It seems like that gap is definitely closing. When it comes to something like the putter, now you guys did that in a limited fashion. And I love that because it felt like a little bit of a presentation to say, hey, look, we had the freedom to go and try some things. It worked really well for us. And we wanted to put that in your hands and see what you think. Is that more of like a concept car kind of thing? Did you put that out there more in that regard? Or
it was in the beginning, to be really honest. We're like, okay, so we see what Bryson's doing. And we could try and catch up with what he's doing from a putter standpoint by printing some things. And we also printed some irons. He actually put a couple iron heads in play that were 3D printed.
Really?
Nothing super exotic from a construction standpoint. Then we did some lattice stuff on the inside, right? So no one knew because we just wanted to, you know, work on some things with him. And then we printed a whole bunch of prototypes for him with all sorts of exotic things from a CG location, from a construction, from a shape standpoint. So we've been testing all sorts of things because 3D printing lends itself to not having to make tooling and getting parts a heck of a lot faster. It's expensive as hell, I'll be honest. Some of the processes we've been using are really expensive. We probably wouldn't go to production with those. So go forward about another year and we start working with HP on some polymer technology. And in the conversation on polymer printing, they said, you know, we're working on a 3D metal printer. We're like, really? That's interesting. Because HP is not going to do something that's going to be a one-off. Mm-hmm. Instantly, you're like, oh, it's HP. They're going to make something that would be ready for production, like mass production. And sure enough, they took one of their, I'd say, industrial size inkjet printers and put a metal bed that holds the powder into this system. And instead of dropping ink, you're dropping a polymer and you're basically building up this head with powder and polymer. You take the loose powder away and you're left with a putter head shape that's about 20% bigger than the final head shape because it's a mixture of powder and polymer, almost like the consistency of a crayon. Like that's like the consistency of it or the toughness of it. You put it in an oven, you melt out the polymer and you fuse the metal together and it shrinks down about 20% and you're left with a semi-finished part, you know, depending upon if you want to machine it or add anything to it or paint it or whatever you're going to do to it. But when we found out that they were going to go to production with this thing and they looked at us and they said, hey, we need some partners to work on new stuff, maybe limited production, because they had two partners at the time that were buying these systems and going to end up making parts for other companies. So the other company's name is Parmatech. So it's HP, Parmatech, and us. And we sat down and said, hell yes, let's make something. Let's like really make something we can sell. And the putter seemed to be like the perfect project. So
yeah,
we've been dreaming of it for years and it all came to fruition. My innovation team, Ryan Roach and Cameron Day, did the whole thing from design to engineering to development, getting this thing made. They busted their asses to get this thing out. And in the throes of all that, we're working with Bryson on some other concepts and some other head shapes. And the cool thing with all of this is you're printing them. So like I said before, you're not creating tooling for all these. So you're almost left up to your imagination and you could print multiple prototypes right next to each other in the same print bed. It's an awesome process.
That's wild. And I think I heard this correctly that you said they're nearly finished. So they're not quite there, but they're like a nearly finished product. And you kind of mixed, it was a mixture of both worlds, what the finishing look yeah. of your new putter was. You have a little bit of refinishing at the end, but you left some of it as is.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Which is pretty cool.
The pictures, the lattice itself on the inside, that would be as centered, as printed and centered. And then the exterior, a lot of it we machined. Yeah, the consumer's expectation and affinity towards machining is pretty high right now.
Yeah.
So we decided, you know, why fight that? Just let's give it that look, but have the internal technology that gives it superior MOI, superior forgiveness, and a great feel, right? They don't necessarily need to see that from above. They can see it from behind when they look at it, because there's no way in hell you're putting that lattice in there without printing it. Not have it be part of the parent metal, like one piece of metal. Mm-hmm. The only way to do it, which is pretty cool.
It's unbelievable. And I feel like that opens the door to so much opportunity. When you mentioned prototyping, some of the more finite things that you almost make concessions on are things like sound. And I remember discussions with your group and others that, you know, making slight changes, very, very subtle changes, can impact the sound in a dramatic way, where you have a way of making these subtle changes to improve it without the cost, as you mentioned, of all the tooling and so on and so forth. I mean, is that kind of something that we're looking for here, or we're going to see? Is this just absolute perfection in the modeling? Because I know you guys take sound very, very seriously at Cobra.
Yes.
Or at least your products do.
Yes. And yes, you are correct. You will see things without giving away the farm, because I can't share everything right now. But you will see things that will be printed. It could be whole heads. It could be parts of heads that are there for mass movement, for sound optimization. Because it could be, you know, the tone of it is great, but it just lasts too long. So you could potentially turn down the volume of that sound. Or you could change the tone also. Because as you've been around now, you know that if you get below like 3,000 hertz in a driver, it starts to sound really bad, really bad. You'd like to be up in the 39, 38, you know, 4,000 hertz range. And so these technologies will lend themselves to sound optimization along with mass movement and structure integrity. So that's a great segue back into RAD. We are 3D printing the iron medallion for the RAD Speed irons. And the beauty of that technology is you've got a structure that gives you the sound attenuation or optimization, you want to call it that. So you've got really good feel, because medallions are super critical in, I'd say, optimizing sound. Sometimes it's going to be to damp, because if you didn't have a medallion, it might sound like a cowbell. So
okay,
you've got a pretty complex structure in there. And part of it is this 3D printed medallion that we have. And the beauty of that 3D printed medallion is it's also saving weight. It saves about, I think we're quoting 3 to 6 grams, depending upon the head style as you go through the set. And that's a huge deal. That allows us to put the mass somewhere else.
The weight saving has to be one of your primary goals with Rad Speed, right? Because it seems like you got a new thin ply concept for the carbon top on the yep. fairway and the driver. I think it said 6 grams there. You pulled the internals outside of your rails on your fairway woods, which I believe was like a 10 gram save there.
Yep.
You have weight saving and the badging in your irons. Was weight saving and weight more, I guess, relocation of weight, it all kind of comes back to that radial concept?
Yes, because you're, again, trying to get it as far away from the center of gravity as possible. And in the iron's case, we're trying to move it heel toe and mm-hmm. getting as far out as possible. And that's a beautiful thing, because we knew it was going to add forgiveness. But occasionally there's serendipity, because you just don't know everything that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We also saw an increase in launch angle. So it helped get the ball up, and it made it more stable. So it was a win-win.
It's amazing to me that we've talked this much, and every time you mention something new, I think about something different about what you guys are doing with your products. And I look at the iron, and one of my biggest concerns, because you and I both know I've been a huge proponent of speed back and then speed zone irons. Mm-hmm. I play the four iron. I figured since Ricky would, I could.
You could do it. Oh, yeah.
That has been an absolute staple in my bag this year. I know you've played them. And you guys made some subtle changes to Rad Speed in the overall design.
Yes.
And that that kind of dual sole, that is such a cool selling feature for people, because it promotes more like a player iron until you hit a really bad shot. Not that anyone does that, especially not on the internet, Mike.
No, never.
But you guys actually modified that this year to make this iron look a lot more like that transitional, not so SGI profile, which I think is really cool, but it's also kind of scary, because it's one of my favorite things about that product was the support that you had on that backside. And I wanted to ask you guys this earlier, but I didn't get a chance to. How critical was it when you made those changes? Was it to keep sort of what you had going for you with that dual design? And how important was it to kind of bring that into a design that people would look at and say, those are me and those need to be in my bag?
I'd say a 10 out of 10 when you asked about how it goes. I mean, you nailed it. You said everything that I would have said, because the F9 and the SZ Speed Zone are great, great irons. And I, like you said, I've been bagging them. I mean, I'm about a 4 right now, 3.8 or a 4 handicap. I still have them in the bag. They're just too damn good. But I will say that streamlining them just a little bit, like the top down look, like you said, bring it a little bit more into mainstream. They're pretty damn good looking. And I'm really picky about performance, with my irons. And I can tell you right now, they did not lose any of the forgiveness and jump, because I've been bagging them now for about 2 or 3 rounds, and I tested a bunch of them in our hit bay and out at our test range. And I am very, very pleased that the performance that we got in the F9 and the SZ is still in the Rad, if not even better. And it's a little more compact, a little bit more, I'm not going to say player-ish, right? But it's more towards the player spectrum than it is the game improvement spectrum. And you nailed it with the turf interaction, the sole also. These are really, really good irons. I'm super excited for these things to get out into the wild.
We've talked about two pretty significant changes, Mike, but we haven't talked about probably the coolest one. And that is that you guys have an internal weight that for your fitters, for to dial in the absolute weight, you have a concept. Explain it better than I can, and I'm sure you will. You have something going on that's really unique.
So we put a tungsten and steel and tie screw, depending upon the weight you want to put into it, in the toe. And it's anywhere from 4 to 16 grams by 2 gram increments. And it's tie at the light, steel in the middle, tungsten at the high end. And it allows us to dial in the swing weight, depending upon the length and your desired swing weight, which is massive. The operations guys have been screaming for this for years. And we finally figured out a way to do it and put it into our game improvement iron. So we, like I said, you said it, I'm going to say it. We're super excited about it, because it gives us so much latitude to dial in the fit for a player. So,
I mean, you've basically taken driver tech and moved it into irons.
Yes.
You've basically done that. And I can't believe it's taken us this long to see it.
I know.
But I'm incredibly excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be with select fitters. But it doesn't matter. If you get fit for a set of irons and you say, I want this swing weight, right? We can dial it in and build it in custom and ship it out.
Yeah. And you do it in more of a, like an organic way, as opposed to just shoving weights down the hosel and that's crazy. Yeah. I hope everyone out there gets a chance to at least take a look at the Rad Speed irons. I think they look spectacular. I think there's a lot to be desired there. And you guys have a second finish.
Yes.
Which is insane.
Black. Yeah. They're really good looking.
And you guys went with like a, it's a kind of a chrome sole, right?
Yeah. So we'll keep the chrome on the soul, because that is, I call it in the area in harm's way, right? Anything that touches the ground is in harm's way, right? And as we know, the ground has many nasty things in it, sand, rocks, all sorts of stuff. So PDV finish around the whole body except for the soul, right? Because that's where it's going to wear the most.
Yeah,
they're really sexy.
I really want to go back to something you just finished saying to me.
Yes.
Did you just tell me you were like a sub 5 right now?
Can you believe that? Yeah,
I can. You're a stud.
Yeah. I have to really thank Jose and Brandon Dickinson, because Jose, where he might be one of the most voracious competitors you'll ever meet, he also is one of the most gracious teachers you'll ever meet. He would rather beat you when you're playing good than beat you because you're playing bad. And he'll just tell you that. And he really helped me with my swing this year. He found a couple little things and I got dialed in and I just started striping it.
Yeah. What is the most impactful club in your bag right now that we can actually talk about?
Man, can there be a top? It's still going to be the 4-iron.
Yeah.
The 4-iron. I just love that thing.
Is it speed zone right now?
So I have rad speed in 5 through gap, and I'm waiting for my speed zone 4-iron. So that's the only old club I have in the bag, but the rad speed is coming in soon. That 4-iron is just magical off the tee,
pretty cool.
Fairway. Oh, all the long irons. I hit this. So I'm looking at my Arcos data right now, and it says that my, 5-iron, let's see here. Let me quote the actual number. My 5-iron average is 218 yards, but I've only hit it like 3 times. So have you played the Legends course at La Costa, the South course?
I played the one closest to the driving range.
Okay, that's the one.
Okay.
All right, so number 9, par 5. Mm-hmm. I had about 200 and I'd say 12 yards in. And I'm looking at it going, I think 5's the perfect play, right? And I rip it and I tug it a little bit. It hits the cart path to the left of the green. And it goes another like 650 yards, ends up in a bunker next to 18 green. I'm chipping back. So I'm there in 2 and I'm chipping back at it. But that's in my data now, a 254 yard 5-iron. Makes me look like a beast.
Yeah. Bryson, eat your heart out.
Here's the rest of the story. I'm sorry to bore you, but
I love it.
I'm in the bunker, 18 green bunker, looking back at number 9 green, and I look at the shot I would have on 18. And I said, "This actually is about the only place you could leave it, get up and down, because the 18, the pin placement was just diabolical, right?" So 2 hours later, I skank a 7-iron into the bunker. I shit you not, Dan, the ball ends up within 1 inch of where it was when it was sitting on number 9. I had the same bunker shot twice.
Did you hit back to 9 because you'd already done it, or do you remember what you were going to?
I end up making par on 9, and I get up and down on 18 to kick Jose's butt.
Yes.
He was in the bunker too, and he went long, and it's 3 putt from there if you went long on that hole. And I left it about 3 feet below the hole, ran it in, and won a lot of money on 1 putt.
That is great.
Yeah.
Now, did you go off and buy some cloud spun right
after? I did immediately. Yes. Yeah. Invested in some stocks, you know, some other things.
Yeah. Can we talk about how good cloud spun is?
You love that stuff, don't you?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm wearing one of the quarter zips now. Ideally it's the only thing my wife will be buying me for Christmas. If she was smart and jumped onto Budget's deal when they had it for Black Friday. It is so weird. The material, it's like stretchy cotton.
Yes.
It isn't cotton. That is like super, super good.
Yeah. It's crazy how good it is.
That's such a bad way of describing it, but
no, it's perfect. So
different. I love it, man.
Yeah.
Do you have like because I remember in my Morgan Cup year last year, you had the Range Days hoodie and you thought it was the greatest thing ever. Yeah. And I don't think you're wrong at the time, but I knew that was kind of like your piece. You know what I mean? Do you have one of those pieces from this year?
Oh, Cloud Spawn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bunches of them, they're so good.
Yeah.
Your description is perfect. I I wish all of my clothes were made out of that material. I would make bed sheets out of that stuff.
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for like, yeah, the undercarriage stuff and cloud spun, you know. I don't know what they're waiting for. It may as well happen.
Yes. So good.
So are you still having a good time tracking everything with Arcos? I know you've been a big proponent of it. I know you guys are doing some incredible stuff, and it that connection between you and them has been very, very cool. And it sounds like it's growing pretty much exponentially. Is it still something you enjoy doing when you get out there tracking your data?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now because I'm transitioning between sets, right? So I get to see the progress. I've only played two rounds with the rad speed. And so my gapping looks okay right now, but within about three or four rounds, I think it's going to really settle in. I love that they have added strokes gained, right? They still have the handicapping in there, but they've added strokes gained. And so now I can compare myself to a peer, or let's say I want to become a two handicap. Like, okay, what do I need to do to become a two handicap? And as I look at it, it's probably going to tell me I have to improve everything. We'll see what it says. yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Let's see here. I am going to have to work on my driving and my putting. And no surprise there, because that's probably, I mean, if you quote Sam Snead, if you could work on everything again, what would you do? And he'd said, I would work on my driving and everything inside 100 yards. And actually right now, a little bit in driving, a little bit in putting, a little more in approach. And that doesn't surprise me in my last couple of rounds. Now I'm going to the weeds. So I use mid-size grips on all my clubs, and I got a set of Rad Speed from Rachel to play, and they've got standard size grips on them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm of the technical belief that grip size plus or minus a little doesn't make a huge difference in terms of how you hit it. It's more about a feel thing. That's what most of our data has shown. I'm hitting everything left. As long as it's in my head. I'm in my head. I got to get my mid-size grips on there and start hitting them straight again.
Is that a hard thing for you to know something on paper and to totally disagree with it once you put it in play?
Yes. It kills you. It really does. It's like, I know this isn't supposed to make a difference, but it does. Or, that's funny. You know, or I know it's supposed to make a difference and like, I can't find it. Because humans are such interesting characters. I mean, I could design a club, or we could design a club where we know it's going to do something. We know it's going to increase dynamic loft. We know it. It has to increase dynamic loft. And you give it to one player and it does exactly what it's supposed to do. You give it to another player and it's like, not much there. You give it to another player and it does the opposite. It's just because humans react to what's in their hands.
I think that is a great point to make when you go into fitting it. I know that you can watch reviews, you can watch feedback. When it all comes down to it, you definitely need to go experience it for yourself. And I'm of the third category, unfortunately, where it might say something on paper, but I make it do something very, very different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you have to have like at least one or 17 really, really good stories with Bryson by this point, right?
Oh, yeah. Numerous.
Do you have one that you'd love to share that just puts him on another level, or something that, you know, is just fascinating about the guy?
Sure. A couple of them. Another level and fascinating at the same time. So he comes in to headquarters and we take him in the hit bay and we have a whole bunch of prototypes. And this is no disrespect to you, Dan, or anybody else that's listening right now. We've got some prototype clubs that have CGs in locations where it makes it almost impossible for you to put the ball in the center of the face. Like you might even whiff. These clubs are so exotic in terms of their mass properties. Mm-hmm. And the dude, he waggles it a couple times. You're like, okay, go ahead. And he hits it in the middle of the face. And we're like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. it was amazing.
That's cool.
The innovation guys walked out of there going, holy crap, how did he do that? And so there's that. He's such a great student of the game and such a great student of equipment. And he works so freaking hard. I've never seen anybody work harder, I think, at anything in my life. And I've, you know, been around a lot of people. And he cares so much. In conversations with him, we literally have to, like, half the time go, Bryson, stop thinking about everybody else right now in their games. You got to focus on your game. Let's focus on your game. You're going to ask. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I will remember this for a while because he caught some weird flack for it, but we don't need to touch that. At the end of his third round, I believe it was, at the U.S. Open, he proceeded to spend the next however many hours just grinding on the range. And most people look back and say, you know, he played well. There's nothing that makes a ton of sense here that he'd be doing that. I looked at that as just to say that he is so in tune, and I think of him like I'm a mental machine. Like, he's just so mentally in tune with what's going on, and you have to be swinging the way he does.
Oh yeah.
He just put everything he had into that one weekend. And I thought that was cool to see. I love the idea that someone's out there doing it to that level. I think that's really interesting.
It's fascinating to watch, just fascinating. And so we've been on this journey with him, and we have pictures when he first came in. He's still an amateur, and he's talking to us and other manufacturers, and he's just, at the time, he looked like a skinny kid, you know, 6 foot, whatever he is, 6 foot two, three, I don't know. And he looks skinny. He's not anymore. The dude has bulked up, right? But the cool thing is, you know, for him, it was the long play. He knew he was going to do everything he could to reduce variation, right? Like, I'm going to get dialed in. I'm going to hit it as perfectly every time that I can. He's going to understand the environmental conditions, the elevation changes. You know, he's going to be a true student of the game and get everything dialed in as he possibly can. And then he decides to bulk up.
Yeah. Okay?
And so take all the learnings he had to reduce variation and hit the balls consistently as possible, and then put 40 more pounds on the dude and give him 20 miles an hour more club head speed. And it works. I tell you, we were in the hit bay. He came out for a photo shoot just before the US Open. And so we were fortunate enough to hang out with him for a couple of days. He's in the hit bay, and to watch someone swinging that hard for about an hour straight, it was insane. And the coolest thing of the whole thing, Daniel, was not that he was swinging so hard. The ball was going so straight. It looked like he's swinging out of his shoes. You're like, if I swing that hard, I would miss. Not only would it not go straight, I would just miss the ball.
Yeah.
And he's just piping it, ball after ball after ball. It was amazing.
It was fun. I saw a video online of him. I don't know if he's like in a house or somewhere, and they're all like getting them all amped up, and he's swinging absolutely as hard as he can. And I'm watching that left leg is. I'm like, if he doesn't clear that thing and jump out of the way, that thing is going to snap in half. It is unbelievable the kind of cuts he's taking. And I love it. I think it's super cool. I don't like, and don't get me wrong, I love a guy who is all golf, all class, all history, all that. I mean, I think of Ricky when it comes to that. Like, he's just in love with the game and the way the game is. And then I'm just so fascinated by a guy like Bryson who doesn't appear at any point to care enough to not do it his way. And I know he probably does feel the wrath of it a little bit when people have feedback for him, but I love that he can go about it in a way that's just totally his own and understand that he has a chance to kind of redefine. I mean, one length sales alone would probably define that or prove that he's redefined how you can play the game. You know, but that's just interesting. And I really would love to know when you get him one-on-one. I watched the charity thing he did with Na and a couple of those guys where he was just giving grief to them. He just seemed like one of the guys out there having some fun. And I don't think that's presented enough for him. So from an internal perspective, when you hang out with him, is he just kind of like one of the guys? Is he just chill and chat? What's his deal?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Gives you grief. Have some fun.
Yep. You know, 1 minute he's on his phone just flipping through stuff, and the next minute he's chatting with you about something. And you know, it's like you're sitting there just with a dude. If you didn't know that he was capable of, and then eventually did win the U.S. Open and was, you know, a golfer in the, you know, top three and top four or five in the world, you wouldn't know it. You just wouldn't know it. He's just a dude. Yeah. Nerdy. He is nerdy. Make no doubt about that.
Hey.
The dirt's nerdy. He is nerdy.
We're all nerdy in one way or another.
Oh, Mr. yeah.
You can, innovation.
Oh, and it's so, you can just see it. You can see he's kind of listening to you, but he's thinking about something. You're like, okay. All right, Bryson, what are you thinking about? Just tell me what you're thinking about. Yeah.
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 But he also, you know, does the video game thing and acts like a normal guy. I think it's cool, man. I think it's really cool. And I hope people keep giving him a chance and allow him to showcase his true self out there. I know it's been a kind of a weird year and he's been at the forefront of some weird stuff, but I'm rooting for him, man. I'm rooting for him so hard because he's got a chance to redefine what we can do in this game.
Yeah, same here. And I'm not saying it just because I'm a Cobra homer, right? I'm a nerd at heart. If I was still working at Boeing or some defense contractor, he might be one of my favorite players just because he works so hard and he's so nerdy. He's thinking so hard about it. And you know, it's not so much, you know, like you mentioned, the one length, the thing I like about it too, and he said this a couple times, it's not about playing his way. He wants us all to play our own way, you know, and it's okay not to look like everybody else and be cookie cutter.
Hey, one of the greatest guys ever said, swing your swing.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes, he did.
And that,
God bless him.
I'll take that one wherever I go. Cause I do it and I don't care what people think.
No, when you're a great golfer.
Thank you. So we're kind of at the end of the show. I've got another, you know, 6 hours of questions catching up with you because, like I said, I always look forward to our time together. Do you have any questions before we go that you want to ask me or bug me about?
Ooh, that's a great one.
I've added this to the end of my shows, and most of the time people kind of say, why are you putting me on the spot? But I like doing it because usually it brings something out that's good.
What are you most excited about golf-wise when the world settles down and it's normal again? Like you personally, like what?
You know, traveling for golf is that like great neutralizer of I'm stuck in my own place. I'm doing my own thing. And I'm incredibly fortunate that I get to play a course I truly love. It's a Palmer Design here in Cincinnati. I'll never be sad about that. But the idea of being able to go and see friends, TH peers, be a part of an event. I mean, anytime you want to go back to down to Hag, just let me know when to book my tickets. Hell, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh my.
I am so excited for the freedom to do something like that.
That's cool. I have to reflect on that for just a second because I can picture that coming. It's going to be a while, but it's coming. Yeah, it's going to be great again. Yeah. All right. The second question.
Sure.
You run Cobra Puma Golf's tour department. What players would you be interested in putting on our staff?
Oh, man. That is a mega. You know, we actually just had a conversation on the THP forum about John Rahm, him being a free agent. Mm-hmm. And the problem is I really struggle with John. The way he acts on the golf course is a little bit frustrating to me. And maybe it's more of a personal thing. It's how I play the game. I used to be like a really upset guy when I went out and played. And I found that not only does that impact my game, but it also impacts the three people who've chosen to spend 4 hours with me. So from that point forward, I said, you know, golf's a good time and I want to promote this game in a positive way that supports the idea that no matter what level, no matter what, whatever you are, you can come out and have a great time and walk away saying that was really fun. Even though the course kicked me in the head, I want to do it again as soon as I can. So I'm looking for guys that are super interesting, that go out and have a great time. And like I read Arnie's book, the green covered, I can't remember the name of it. It's sitting right in front of me here. He basically, it's a life well played. And he said, to paraphrase, it's definitely not direct quotes, but he said, you know, I understand that I probably could have won a bunch more tournaments if I had have taken the game and isolated myself into it and not been so forward with the fans and the people around. But he didn't believe that was a good representation of the game. And he certainly didn't feel like he would have gotten as much out of it personally if he hadn't have done that. So I would look for guys who represent the brand in a beautiful way. I think what Ricky's done over his career has been spectacular, particularly for Puma. but I also like the guys who are super interesting. Tony Finau is a guy who I really like to talk about. I think that guy has got a lot of positive things going for him. I know he's had some hard times winning, but he seems like a dude you'd love to go play in a round of golf.
Mm-hmm. I like that one. Any others?
Man, I don't know. Okay. You know what's funny? I really like, and he's probably stuck with TaylorMade for forever, and I know he just won and he's been winning. I think it's so funny how difficult people have, how hard of a time they have with DJ. I love that DJ goes out there in this sort of laissez-faire, whatever, don't worry about me, I'm just going to do my thing sort of way. It cracks me up that it drives people crazy, because when I look at him, I say, this is a guy who's a truly dominant player when he's on. And he's proven that, you know, with the last seven tournaments he's played in. But I like those guys with a little quirk too.
Cool. Got it. All right. What do you want from Santa Claus?
Oh man. Like I said, a trip to Hag Point. Well, we talked about the Clouds Fund. Hopefully Santa's listening. I don't have a big list this year. One of the weird things about staying home and behaving is you don't end up having a huge list, right?
Yeah.
So I think what I'd like to continue doing is, we've had this like really cool new trend of instant potting, and we got an air fryer this year. I like the idea of just continuing to experiment with that stuff. So if I can get like a commitment from the wife that she's going to try a unique dish every week that is definitely something I would like to eat, that's like the perfect Christmas present.
We've been Instapotting too. My daughter and I have loved doing it. She's really getting into cooking and baking. Yeah. So we haven't done a ton yet, but a lot of chicken stuff, teriyaki, barbecue. Yeah. Oh yeah. Made a couple soups. That thing's awesome.
We did, like a chili mac. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Yep. And you know, we're both bad cooks. So to have someone make it for us, basically all we got to do is kind of shove it in and make it, you know, do its thing. Yep. That is a big win.
Oh,
anything else? That all you got?
Those three. That's good.
Okay. I love it. Mike, I can't thank you enough for spending the time today with us. I am truly excited for your new product line coming out. I hope you guys see huge success, and I really hope that everyone listening checks it out, obviously, and hits it for yourself, because I mean, you've proven year after year that there are products in your lineup that are just spectacular. So well done to you, sir.
Thank you, Dan. It was definitely a team effort. My innovation team contributed to it, and then the design guys and development guys took it all the way through. And I would say the same thing to the listeners. Just go try it. I mean, seriously, just go hit these rad speeds, right? They're spectacular. And they could be in just about anybody's bag.
I'm pretty excited to see what you guys got coming. Not next year, but you know, 5 years down the road, when you find what's possible next.
Really cool stuff coming, mister.
So yeah. I've totally hit stop. You can go ahead and just spill the beans right now. It's all, definitely hit stop.
I'm not spilling anything. Nice try.
Well, nice we try. Tried. Hey, everyone out there, once again, this is Mike Yagley, VP of Innovation over at Cobra. Make sure you give them a follow at Cobra Golf. And if you're playing this weekend, unlike me, because it sucks in Ohio, play well and enjoy your time out there.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.